Welcome to the conference room with this week's guest, Mark Jarrett.
There can be a WhatsApp group about anything. And the in some ways, the more niche the subject matter is, the more likely you are to have a meeting of minds. Tech won't cut it. It's far too broad and generic. But if it's agri-tech or femtech or martech or any of the other countless techs out there, then you're more likely to have a meeting of minds.
Welcome to The Conference Room, a weekly podcast where business leaders and growth experts kindly share their experiences, actionable tips, and secrets to successfully grow a business. If you like the podcast, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a five-star review. It'll really help us out. And I really hope you enjoy this week's episode. I'm Simon Lader. Welcome to The Conference Room. Good afternoon and welcome to The Conference Room. I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Mr. Mark Jarrett. Mark is the founder and CEO of Virtual Power Networking. He's the consummate super connector and the king of networking using WhatsApp. Endorsed by Meta and the United States Presidential Service Center, Mark has created and manages more than 500 WhatsApp groups to facilitate virtual business networking. His groups cover a wide range of industries, geographies, and business subjects, and have many of the world's leading entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and business owners making active business connections within them. His power as a super connector has created hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue in over 150 countries throughout the world. And I'm delighted to say, after many attempts, we finally dragged him kicking and screaming into the conference room. So, Mark Jarrett, good afternoon and welcome to the conference room.
Great to be here. Pleasure as always, Simon.
Thank you very much. Well, every hero has an origin story, and you're the hero of our story. So how did you get from starting out to now running these 500 WhatsApp groups?
So I cut my cloth in banking and futures broking in the 1980s when greed was good. And then I got bored with that and moved into telecoms. I spent the rump of my career in telecoms. I was first to market with logos and ringtones 20-something years ago, back in the days when every other person had a Nokia phone. It only worked with Nokia, but back then, every other person had a Nokia.
My favorite phone of all time was my banana phone. I loved that phone.
Yeah, fun days. Basically, I went in all the UK red tops, the tabloids, with something called Logo Paradise. And you could just order a little icon or a ringtone for your phone. It was the perfect billing and delivery cycle. And I had the first to market advantage. If I could have patented that technology, I would be having this call right now from the back of my yacht. But I didn't, and I'm not. So that was that. And then about 11 or 12 years ago, I launched the world's first celebrity chat line where people could call and speak to their favorite celebrity. If you go to YouTube and search for Dial a Star, that was me. The idea was to raise money for good causes. But unfortunately, the celebrities kept all the money. They did promise me they would donate to charity, but they didn't. But at least I tried. And here I am, fast forward to now. I operate more than 500 WhatsApp groups. And of course, WhatsApp is a telecoms product. 2 billion people use it globally. Ironically, the one country apart from Iran and North Korea that don't use WhatsApp so much is the United States of America. Last time I checked, it was 1 in 5 Americans use it, but I understand more and more Americans are beginning to use it. Here in Europe, pretty much everyone uses it. And in countries like Brazil and India, it's just like, yeah, it's ubiquitous. Everyone uses it.
Okay, great stuff. So let's talk about why specifically WhatsApp. When most people think of WhatsApp, they think of it as okay, I'm going to have free calls to someone in another country, or it's an easy way to text, or I can get, you know, my family all on a group and we can chat about, you know, where we're all going to go out for dinner tomorrow or whatever it is, right? And when people think of networking, they much more think about LinkedIn, particularly for business networking, okay? So what are the advantages of WhatsApp when it comes to networking? And why was it WhatsApp that drew you towards that as your channel to create this enormous networking ecosystem?
Because of its user base, 2 billion people. LinkedIn plays a key role in what I do because it's such a powerful information tool. You can see where they went to school, where they've worked, who you know in common, who's recommended them. And I insist that people include their LinkedIn profile when they join my WhatsApp groups. But the user experience on LinkedIn can be a bit slow and clunky, whereas on WhatsApp, everything is instant. So I see WhatsApp as a kind of halfway house between LinkedIn and places like Zoom, Teams, Remo, or of course, in person. That's where the real magic happens. Of course, the whole point of networking is to arrive at a meaningful one-to-one like we're having now.
Right. No, absolutely. So tell me about how the idea of this ecosystem came about. I mean, curating 500 different groups, obviously, I'm sure didn't kind of come about overnight. Tell me how that idea evolved and what you did to actually put this in practice.
So there's a prolific networker in the UK called Thomas Power, and I was in one of his WhatsApp groups. And I onboarded more people to it than the whole of the other, the whole group combined. But because my networking style can be a bit cheeky and edgy, I kept on getting removed for bad behavior. But when I did, it all went quiet. So it was the classic love-hate relationship. They kept on inviting me back. But then I thought, hang on, why should I expend all this time and trouble in populating his group? So I created my own. So in December 2019, the Virtual International Pub group that you're in, Simon, was born. And then two people in that group started talking about education. So I quarantined them and created the education group. And then people started talking about, I think it was biotech. And then the biotech was group was born. So it kind of snowballed from there. And there can be a WhatsApp group about anything. And the in some ways, the more niche the subject matter is, the more likely you are to have a meeting of minds. Tech won't cut it. It's far too broad and generic. But if it's agri-tech or femtech or martech or any of the other countless techs out there, then you're more likely to have a meeting of minds.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, I mean, I am part of, well, several of your groups. And yeah, full disclosure, you and I met from someone that was in one of your groups. I happened to have bumped into somewhere on Facebook. She invited me to like a virtual kind of networking Friday afternoon chat, right? And I kind of came in, it was like, hi, yeah, I'm new here. And then everyone's like, hi, hello. And everyone was very polite. And then suddenly it was, oh, Mark's arrived. And then everyone perked up. And then you and I started chatting. And then before I know it, I was invited to the virtual pub group. And from there, it was like, oh, here's another group. And what I thought was really interesting about the way you did it was that you found out what Mark asked me. I never felt I was kind of being interrogated or under any pressure, but found out what my business interests were and then suggested appropriate groups that you had. And in a couple of others, it was like, oh, actually, I don't have a group for that. But you know what? I think other people might have that as well. I'll create a group for that. And then through your other groups, the one perhaps a little more generalist or whatever, said, oh, we've just created this new group. Is anyone interested? And before I knew it, There was one group that we had, I forget which one it was, that you created because of a conversation you and I had, that overnight had like 40, 50 people in it, which was incredible. I mean, having that kind of reach is astonishing. So
that's what I do now. When people join virtualpowernetworking.com, I often ask them, if I was to create a WhatsApp group around you and your work, what would I call it? Then if I haven't got that subject covered, I'll just go ahead and create it. Then when I welcome them into the groups, I will say something like, if anyone wants to learn more about Simon and his work, please join this group. And anyone that joins that group is a red hot lead for you, and that becomes your funnel.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's and I think that having that kind of warm connection is incredible. But it does bring me back to, again, why WhatsApp as opposed to LinkedIn, because I would have, and again, I don't know, right? But I'm just sort of asking, why LinkedIn has a group function, okay? So what is it about WhatsApp in conjunction with LinkedIn that makes it a better choice than keeping it all within one platform? You know, keeping
so it goes back to what you were saying earlier. A lot of those Americans that do use WhatsApp, typically they only use it when they or their friends and family are traveling overseas for the free calls and the video calls.
Yeah.
To me, that's a bonus. But the great thing is, if you do hit it off with someone in one of my groups, then you can have a telephone call or a video call with them. Boom, straight there and then. So it's a better connection or communications mechanism than LinkedIn. LinkedIn is a fantastic information tool. Personally, I think the user experience on LinkedIn can be a bit slow and clunky at times, whereas in WhatsApp, everything is fast and instant.
Yeah, absolutely. So you made a really interesting point a little earlier, which was ultimately this all comes back to having that one-to-one connection, whether it's over Zoom, whether it's face-to-face. And by the way, one of the things I love, and I'm sounding increasingly sycophantic here, I apologize, but one of the things that I love about your groups is when people who have met through your groups physically meet up and you insist on them
taking...
Tell me a little bit about that, how that came about. I do have a follow-up question, but tell me a little bit about how that first came about.
It's wonderful. So before the pandemic, everything was real. And in 2018, I wrote an article on LinkedIn called The Wonderful World of Virtual Networking. Back then, no one really took me that seriously. But when the pandemic came, it became the only way to network. But I love virtual networking because it saves a ton of time, money and carbon. I mean, you're 4,500 miles away from me now, but it feels like you're next door. Mm. And I love the globality of it. The world literally is our oyster in a WhatsApp group.
Yeah. But then how did it go from that to getting people to take selfies? How did that phenomenon come about?
Well, when they started meeting in person, a lot of people met during the pandemic in my WhatsApp groups. Then they met in real life and they started taking selfies, as you do. And it's so rewarding because I know that I help manifest that meeting of two human beings. And I think now, especially for the younger generation, they're growing up in an era of AI and bots. So that human connection now is more important than ever. There's a big irony here because WhatsApp is primarily used on smartphones, but ironically, smartphones are actually killing off the communications that matter the most, and that's human ones. But I wouldn't be able to do what I do if it was purely on mobile, which is why I always encourage people to start using WhatsApp on their computer simply by going to web.whatsapp.com and then marrying your smartphone to your computer using the QR code. And it's much more effective that way, purely because the keyboard and the screen on your computer or laptop is much bigger than your smartphone.
And of course, knowing which groups to mute, because otherwise, if you're like,
the mute function is a wonderful thing.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, as WhatsApp groups led to human connections, okay, and like you said before, it's all about creating that human connection, okay. What is appropriate etiquette, either in a WhatsApp group, or to migrate from WhatsApp to face to face? Okay, what would you say is if somebody joined one of your groups, wanted to get the best out of it, what modalities, what best practice would you recommend?
Well, I help members to craft an introduction in which they say who they are, where they live, what they do, who they would like to meet is the important one. A fun fact maybe to show their human side and their LinkedIn URL. Obviously, I encourage members to welcome someone into the groups. And then it's a slow burn. We're talking about human beings here and building up that trust. And by the way, trust underpins everything that I do, because I only need one bad actor and it could ruin it for everyone. Mm. So it's important for me to keep the group safe and build those connections. I'm all about relationship building. And at the end of the day, Simon, that's what life's all about. Relationships with our partner, our friends, our family, and human beings in general.
Mm.
That's one little bit anti-multi-level marketing, because that tends to be transactional right from the get-go.
Yeah.
I'm all about building up those human connections first and then doing business.
Right. Okay. So tell me, what's the, of all the groups that you have, what's the quirkiest group?
The Bendy Bananas group.
Tell me about Bendy Bananas.
So my original joke group, I thought I had to have a joke group. So I created a group all about avocados.
It won't be any good for me. I'm allergic to them.
Well, okay. Well, I'm definitely not going to invite you to that one. But then someone came into my orbit. I mean, when you think about it, the avocado industry is huge. It's a very, very popular fruit consumed all over the world. And then an avocado industry guru came into my world, and suddenly that group became quite serious. And by the way, avocado bombing is a thing.
Avocado bombing, what's that?
Yeah, but yeah, it's where, because obviously over the months and years, I think, a year or two now, there's been loads of photographs of avocados being shared in there. So when you forward them, like if you get 15 or 20 photographs of an avocado, that's avocado bombing.
I'll tell you a funny story. So several years ago, my family, we went on a road trip, okay, and as I think you know, I am an Orthodox Jew, so I keep kosher, okay. And when you're on a road trip, even in the US, you can be in some far-flung places and they don't necessarily have a wide choice of, you know, kosher places to eat, okay? So we were going through Nashville, Tennessee, and we've been driving from Vegas all the way to Nashville. And we get to Nashville, and we did that in one stint. We left here in, I think after lunch on the Sunday. We get to Nashville, Tennessee around 6-7 o'clock. On the Monday night, having driven all day through the night and the whole of the following day. And the only kosher restaurant or certified kosher restaurant in the whole of Nashville, Tennessee at that time was a vegan restaurant called Avo, A-V-O, Avo, right? So check into the hotel, shower, change, wife, kids, we all go out and we go to Avo. And I'm starving. Seriously, I was resisting the temptation to eat the steering wheel. I hadn't had a decent meal in 36 hours, right? And so we get in, and it's all very beautifully colored, like greens and browns, all very lovely. And we come and we sit down. And it's literally like that Monty Python spam sketch, right? Where they hand over the menu and it's avocado soup, avocado with this, avocado with that, avocado, 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 right? And I'm like, I don't eat avocado. I'm allergic, right?
No,
thankfully, it's not an airborne allergy. Otherwise, I'd probably been dead by then, right? But it's like, seriously, there was nothing on the menu that didn't have avocado. And so eventually the waitress comes over and their wife wants this, kids want this. And they come to me and I said, is there anything you can do without avocado? And she just looks at me and she says, it's an avocado restaurant, like avocado. And I'm like, yeah, I'm allergic. And her face was just like, well, you're SOL. And I'm like,
no other options.
So the only thing they could do, right? They had a cheese platter that, thank God, was made out of cheese, all right? However, the crackers that came with them were slices of deep-fried or toasted or whatever avocado, right? So they sent someone to, like, the Trader Joe's across the street to get me some crackers to eat with this cheese, and that was all I could eat. And then all the desserts were like, using that avocado. And anything that they cooked with avocado oil, everything on the menu would have killed.
I bet you gobbled down those crackers quickly.
Oh, did I? What? So yeah, that's my avocado story. So yeah. Anyway, and coming back to your groups, right? What would you say is within any of the groups that you've had, right? What would you say is the biggest success story? The one that really kind of took you by surprise, that you thought that really demonstrates the power of networking over WhatsApp?
I had an incident the other day. A young lady joined my groups, and within 50 seconds, under a minute, she connected with someone who ended up hiring her.
Wow.
Beautiful, beautiful. And one of my passions is helping young people find work, because the best way to find work is through networking. If you go to indeed.com, you're competing with hundreds if not thousands of other candidates, and the best jobs are unadvertised. So I always encourage young people, when they're leaving school or university, to start networking like a trooper and build their networks. Very, very important.
It's interesting, isn't it? I've seen and I wonder whether you're seeing the same thing, that good old-fashioned networking, walking up to somebody and saying, hi, here's me, who are you, talking, developing a rapport, and then from that, developing a business relationship, it's becoming a lost art, okay? And I don't know whether it's because most of us have spent the last 3 or 4 years behind screens rather than face-to-face, or whether it's just the younger people, and I don't want to sound like some old crusty guy, but the youth of today, but young people who are, you know, are tied much more to devices than either you or I were growing up when we did, right?
That's a point well made. Another thing to bear in mind is it's all about the follow-up.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised how many people go to networking events and they don't follow up. It's like, if you had a date with someone and it really worked out well, how do you think they would feel if you didn't call them?
Yeah.
If you didn't follow up. And the same with business networking. The key is in the follow-up.
And I wonder if it's because we live in a world of instant gratification and people not knowing how to play the longer game. And not realizing that if you don't get a yes right now, if you don't get an immediate response, then just keep asking, keep in touch.
Absolutely.
Providing value, and then it'll come. I mean, I think we both know the statistic of, particularly when it comes to cold calling or making an initial business relationship, it can often take 9 touch points before you actually get anywhere. And
before people remember.
Right.
Absolutely.
And also the other statistic that I think it, it, is relevant here also is that if you look at your entire addressable market, whatever it is you're selling, right? Whether you, you know, it doesn't matter what you're selling. If you look at your entire addressable market, okay, of the people that have the budget, you know, may well have the need, and they fit your ideal client profile, okay, only 9% on average are ready to buy now. So 91% will buy from you, potentially, just not now. The timing isn't right, okay? Which, to your point, talks about how important that follow-up is, yeah? So on that basis, how do you feel that WhatsApp groups can facilitate that?
So to build what I have created, and you of all people know this, networking isn't about you, it's about them. It's about serving others. So I've been building this networking ecosystem by paying it forward. But the trouble with paying it forward is it doesn't pay the bills. So I recently teamed up with a Singaporean startup called Naz.io. And when I saw the banner that said, monetize your WhatsApp groups, you can imagine my level of interest was very high. So I'm now asking people to invest £9.90, which is about $12.99-ish, to be part of this incredible ecosystem that I've created. Now, what can you buy for that nowadays? It's two coffees and a croissant. You know, it's most networking networks charge between 30 and 50 US, sometimes much more than that. I'm going in the low ticket. This is very affordable. And don't forget, Simon, it only takes one person to change the trajectory of your business life.
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. I mean, it's funny when people talk about the 80-20 rule, but very often it's one person is that tipping point, you know, that one person that opens doors or teaches you or mentors you or whatever it is, mm-hmm. or hires you. So yeah, no, 100%. Absolutely. So which kind of leads me on to my next question, which is how have you monetized these WhatsApp groups? Talk to me a little bit more about that.
Okay. So, I've only just launched it, really. It's quite a new service, virtualpowernetworking.com. So far, about just under 200 people have signed up. My goal is to get 1,000 people. That then affords me a good monthly income. I've got the number 1,000 twice as my goal. One, to have 1,000 signups. And also 1,000 WhatsApp groups. But wow. The great thing about this is it's so scalable, because literally every business person on the planet can benefit from what I've created, because I've got so many different types of groups. They can get instant value for, you know, not a lot of money. And it's a win-win. That affords me a decent monthly income, and it affords them some of the best minds on the planet. Rock stars, I call them, business rock stars, and wonderful, wonderful human beings. And the thing is, a lot of these people are actually quite difficult to reach. But within my ecosystem, you know, they're reachable. So in some ways, I'm selling access and convenience as well, because you try reaching out to some of these people on LinkedIn, it's not that straightforward.
So what are the advantages of joining Virtual Power Networking as opposed to being in the groups for free, other than obviously supporting you, which is, you know, an appropriate thing to do? But if someone was thinking of it purely selfishly, what are the advantages of joining Virtual Power Networking over being in the groups for free?
Well, I've now got order, structure, and value to what I've created. All the groups are categorized according to arts, sciences, humanities, social media, health, country, city. I've got 186 country groups by themselves. I mean, I've co-created those groups with trustworthy individuals who are well connected in their country. Because as you know, when you're trying to expand internationally, you need boots on the ground in that country. So no matter what anyone wants, a lawyer, an accountant, a warehouse, a distribution partner, whatever they need, my network can help them.
Great stuff. And how can people find that?
So, for example, if you're looking for a warehouse in Poland, I would then flip that over to the Poland group, ask the group, the person that I've co-created that group with, can you recommend a good warehouse? They will find the warehouse. And then we connect dots. And that's what I do. I connect dots, big dots, small dots, and everything else in between.
Everything, all the dots in between. So, Mark, what are your three tips if somebody wants to be a successful networker on WhatsApp? What are your three tips for somebody to be successful?
So I touched on one of them just now. It's not about you. It's about them taking interest in other people. Networking virtually is like opening a bank account. You cannot make a withdrawal until you've made a deposit. It's about serving others.
Yeah.
Courteousness and respect is a given. I don't allow politics or religion in my groups. That's part of the protocol because it's too binary and divisive. I like to keep the mood in my WhatsApp groups, joyous and light. So I don't allow politics. And it's a long game. You've got to be patient. We're dealing here about with humans. So getting to know them takes time, but it's time well spent.
Mm-hmm.
And I've lost count of how many relationships and friendships that I've created. It's wonderful. But at the end of the day, we're all business people. Doing business if a friendship is created, that's great. But if a friendship is created and a deal is done, so much the better.
Absolutely. Great stuff. So what's next for you and for Virtual Power Networking? What's we've obviously got this objective of 1,000 subscribers, which I'm sure you'll hit. What's next?
Well, it's so scalable, beyond 1,000, then, the sky's the limit. It could be 10,000 or 100,000. So it's fully scalable. Personally, my goal is to be able to connect anyone to anyone. And I don't understand people that have got 10 million in the bank and need 11. I want to become a philanthropist when I grow up. So if ever I do get to a stage where I am making good money again, like I used to, I want to start giving money away. And I'm drawn to people in the impact space doing good things. And the effective altruism movement really resonates with me. But having been in a place where I ran out of money a couple of years ago, I can vouch for the fact that money in and of itself doesn't make you happy. I've met countless people in my lifetime that have got tons of money, but are actually quite sort of paranoid individuals, but they're busy hiding it through complex offshore tax structures. They don't know who their real friends are, yada, yada, yada. So money does... You're happy, but it's impossible to be happy without it. I mean, if you're constantly worrying about how to pay the rent and get food on the table, it's negative. But I find that people that and by the way, my ethos is open, random, and supportive. It's the antithesis of corporate thinking. Corporates tend to be quite closed and secretive. Yeah. I'm the opposite. I encourage people to share their triumphs, obviously, but also their trauma. We're all human beings And I find that people that have experienced massive trauma in their life often come out stronger the other side for it. Pressure creates diamonds.
Yes, absolutely. Or or steel is just iron that's been through a furnace. Absolutely. So if people wanted to reach out and connect with you, or if people wanted to become part of your incredible ecosystem, what's the best way for them to do that?
Okay, in order of preference, virtualpowernetworking.com. Click on Get Started and you're off to the races. You'll be asked a few questions about your ideal referral and the kind of groups you want to be in, and the name of someone that you could refer. If you want to reach out to me, and if you've got any questions, just hit the contact button of the website. And the top option is ping me on WhatsApp, or send me a message via email, which is my third option. The second option would be LinkedIn. Just find me on LinkedIn and send me an invitation to connect. I will accept. And then we've got that communication channel open to us. But what I'll probably do straight away is say, look, can we continue the dialogue on WhatsApp?
Let's still go on WhatsApp. Absolutely. Yeah. Great stuff. Okay. So, Mark, this has been amazing. I mean, we've known each other for crumbs. I think it's about 6 months now, 6-8 months, maybe longer, since I joined your WhatsApp groups. And I can say it's brought incredible value to me. Several of our guests here on the conference room have come through knowing them through your WhatsApp
group. Yes, and you're in the Viva Las Vegas group. And the great thing about the hyperlocal groups is it's much easier to have real-world meetings. For example, my Dynamic Dubai group, they've already met several times in person as a group, and I didn't lift a finger. It's wonderful being able to manifest those meetings, but it's obviously much easier in a hyper local city group. I've got groups for Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, LA, and London, of course, the world's best city. Long may it continue. Recently I created 5 WhatsApp groups: Harvard, MIT, Stanford, Oxford, and Cambridge. I'm quarantining the world's best minds, which is quite ironic because I didn't actually go to university. I get distracted by wine, women, and song. So they did all the studying for me. Incredible. When you put great minds into one room, magical things happen. And I've even created namesake groups. I haven't got a Super Simon one yet, but I should have.
Simon says.
Because then you've got that in common. You're all called Simon. It just makes real-world meetups a little bit difficult, because then if you say, hey, Simon, 13 people will turn their heads. But
it's funny, actually. You remind me one final story. You remind me that my grandmother, her name was Edna, which was a very common name for kids back in the 1920s. And a bunch of her cousins, because they were all, I think, named after some great-grandmother or something, right? And they were all, so at large family gatherings, if somebody would go Edna or Auntie Edna, 7 or 8 blue-rinsed women would turn around and go, yes. So it's a bit like shouting mum at the school gate. But in the meantime, Mark, I can't tell you how much of a joy and a pleasure this has been. I know it's going to be incredibly valuable to people listening. And I would urge people to reach out to Mark, to join his ecosystem, and to be part of this incredible, incredible WhatsApp community that he's created. But in the meantime, Mark Jarrett, thank you so much for joining us.
Can I leave you with one thought?
Please do.
So it's an African proverb, which I absolutely love, which sums up networking really well. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go with others.
Coming up next week on The Conference Room, I'll be talking to the CEO of cybersecurity vendor Skyhawk Security, Chen Bershan.
You need to have eventually a huge problem to solve, a great technology that can create a significant improvement or disruption to how this problem is being addressed today. And it should have a defendable approach that you can do better than others in order to solve this problem. So a good technology, great differentiation and approach, and a huge problem to solve that the market is willing to pay for.
Thanks so much for listening. We really appreciate it. And make sure you visit our website, theconferenceroompodcast.com, to see all the other episodes and to get access to the show notes and resources mentioned in this episode. If you enjoyed the episode, please share it with your network, or better still, go on to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or any other podcast platform and leave us a 5-star review. It'll only take you a moment, but it'll mean the world to us. And please don't hesitate to tell us which topics you'd like us to cover in future episodes. To get in touch, drop us a line in the comments section or send us a message on social media. Just search for The Conference Room Podcast or me, Simon Lader, on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, or TikTok. I'm always open to a conversation. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you'll be alerted when a new episode goes live every week. Thanks so much for listening to The Conference Room, and until next time, keep talking.